amen and amen. I just hear the Lord saying, trust me with everything we see in this world. Just a reminder to trust him. And the things that I read and different things going on out there, Lord, thank you that we can trust you with our lives. Amen. So do you trust him with your life?
Yes, I do.
And if you're married, you're trusting God with your marriage. Hallelujah. How about any children you need to trust God with, or grandchildren? Great grandkids, Lord, we trust you tonight, and we thank you for encouraging our hearts. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, and Lord, we anticipate that. Amen?
Amen.
You're always speaking, Lord. Thank you for giving us ears to hear what you want to say to each individual tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, piano player.
You're welcome.
You're wonderful. Wonderful piano player. Okay. I want to just have Becky Davis share with us, because we need to pray for her daughter, but we want her to explain what we're praying for, okay? You guys all hear me okay? Have you ever had in your time in your life when you've felt somebody's prayers? Have you ever? I know I have before. And so we're praying for that. And healing in a relationship. Amen. God is good, isn't he? And he is faithful. Amen and amen. So I'm going to get right into this, because I was this afternoon, as I was doing final prepping, the Lord turned me a completely different direction. And when I mention what I'm going to talk about at first, you might raise your eyebrows. But what I'm going to talk about, it totally encouraged me today, because I needed the Lord's encouragement. And it's his word that always encourages me. I'm so thankful that I have to study for Wednesday nights, because I get my socks blessed off. And so, because that's what the Word of God does. And so I'm praying that the same blessing that I had today on this, that it would bless you. Amen? Is that okay? So we're in John session 83. Yeah, 83. And we're in John chapter 8, verse 39. We've been on a few scriptures here. We've kind of been stuck on some scriptures, but it's been a good type of stuck. So when I read this, I think that maybe you heard this the last few weeks already. But it says in John 8, 39, so it's John chapter 8, verse 39, and I'm in the NASB, okay? It says, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And so, remember Jesus had talked, mind you, that before he started talking, it says, if you read up a few scriptures before this, and he started talking to those that believed in him. So what he had finished talking about, it says that he started speaking specifically to those that have believed in him, and talking about, hey, you know, he says, you're talking about Satan being a liar, we're going to get into that, but he was talking about sin, and everybody is born in bondage to sin. Isn't that crazy? It really is true. That's why we need a Savior. Everybody is born behind the eight ball. Everybody is born in trouble, having no hope for a future. That sounds crazy, but that's what the gospel, that's why Jesus Christ came, amen, that you and I could be purchased back from him, being children, being born. This is crazy, but being born, you've heard me say, being born children of Satan. Now, we're born in God's image, but man, you say that to big groups of people. Most people out there that say, hey, and I don't recommend you do this, but hey, you're a child of Satan. But that is the truth of the fact. Did you know that? Wow, everybody is born a sinner. It didn't take long, right? We had Adam and Eve. We know what happened there. It didn't take long for the two sons. So we had Cain and Abel. It didn't take long to have the first murder. First sin. So that shows Cain and Abel were born in sin. Amen? And we went on and talked about where Jesus was talking about the law and making sure that he let everybody know that you cannot follow the law in your own strength. He said, hey, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you look upon, he was saying, if you look upon a woman, you've already committed adultery. So Jesus made sure to let everybody know that there was no hope in their own strength, in their own ability, or in their power to be made righteous. And that's why he said, they answered and said to him, they said, hey, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. And we're going to talk about, well, if we can get there, because I'm going to take a little turn. But you wonder, you hear, do the deeds of Abraham. And then I go back to where it says in Romans chapter 4, it says, hey, that we're saved by faith. That if Abraham was going to be saved by works, there was nothing that he had that he could boast. That he was completely saved by putting his trust in God. Matter of fact, it's amazing. Galatians says that the gospel, you've heard me say this, this is amazing. The first gospel message was preached to Abraham. Because God said, hey, I'm gonna make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. And he believed that, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Isn't that amazing? It was credited to him as righteousness. And so we'll get there maybe next week, but do the deeds of Abraham. He says, you do the deeds of Abraham, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me. Now, mind you, he's saying something that they haven't had, that they're going to do not many verses from here. At that time, they're saying, who's trying to kill you? But he was prophesying, saying this, as soon as I start telling you truth, I'm going to prove to you that Satan indeed is your father. So when he was saying that right there, saying, hey, you want to kill me? At that time, they're saying, what are you talking about? We want to kill you. So, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Meaning that when he heard about when God said, I'm going to make your descendants. And it wasn't just once. He had to believe that for a long time frame, 25 years before he saw that. And so I'm mentioning Jesus saying to them, saying, you're seeking to kill me, but we'll have to get that to another time. Look, it says in Luke 16, 14, and 15. Just talking about this real quick before we change the subject. It says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money. So there's Luke 16, 14, and 15. Now the Pharisees were lovers of money. So there's your religious leaders right there. They were lovers of money. Were listening to all these things and were ridiculing him. Who? They were ridiculing Jesus. So understand, if you could put yourself in that position, that as he was speaking the truth, he's God in the flesh, the Son of God, the religious leaders were ridiculing him. So even as he was speaking the truth, there was those in the crowd from the religious leaders that were mocking him and ridiculing him. Verse 15, and he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of people, but God knows your hearts. Because that which is highly esteemed among people is detestable in the sight of God. Isn't that amazing? He's talking to the religious leaders who were walking in the old covenant. They were, even though they were part of what, sacrifices, doing everything that they were supposed to do in the temple, but God, knowing that their hearts, it was full of detestable wickedness. You know, religion will never lead to freedom, amen? Doing things that you think is righteous on your own, it never leads to God's righteousness. It never leads to his justification. And so I want to continue on, read a few more verses here. Verse 41, you are doing your, this is when he's talking about who their father is. This is talking about the Israelites. You are doing the deeds of your father. And so mind you, some people had come into believing him. They believed what he said. He wasn't being cruel and mean. He was making a point that, hey, just because you're children of Israel, just because you're involved in the old covenant, just because you're involved in religious duties, man, you aren't righteous. It won't be until after he raises from the dead, amen, when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. So even what they're saying right now just totally offended them. So, but this is the whole world. This is the bondage and the chains that the whole world is caught in right now. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born as a result of sexual immorality. They're saying, what are you talking about? They're going back to saying, hey, we're not like half Jewish and half Greek. They said, no, we're children of Abraham. He says, we weren't born as a result of sexual immorality. We have one Father God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came forth from God and am here, for I have not even come on my own, because the Father sent him, amen, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot listen to my word. Wow. Aren't you glad that you can hear his word? Don't you glad that you hear the gospel? Aren't you glad that the word of God has changed your life? Amen. They could not hear that because they were stuck on their own righteousness. They were stuck on, hey, we're children of Abraham. And a matter of fact, even when Paul began to be a minister to the Gentiles, so many of the Jews were coming against him. Amen. If you read in the book of Acts, because they could not believe the things that he was saying, that you must give your life to Christ to be righteous. Doesn't matter what religious system you follow, you're lacking. And so Abraham, I want to go back to Abraham's deeds, Abraham's faith. It's amazing. Abraham's faith, hear me out, canceled out his bad deeds. Can you imagine that? There was plenty of them. Can I remind you? You guys know these, so I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here. He said, you know, God said, leave to Abraham, leave your family and go. Yeah, he went, but he took Lot with him, and it caused some heartache. Remember when Lot says, hey, when he says, hey, our wealth is too great. One of us is going to have to, we're going to have to split up. Which direction do you want to go? And Lot said, I like this green area. And so we know that he ends up moving into Sodom. And then there were some kings that came against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they carried off the people. And then he took his well-trained men, Abraham, and he chased after these armies and rescued his nephew Lot. Remember that? So Lot was a bit of a heartache with him. He was told, leave your family and go. And he thought, well, I'm going to bring my nephew. He ends up going to Egypt. So he was sent to go to the promised land, but he says, I'm going to go a little further. So he goes into Egypt. It was, if you read, it says, as soon as he went into Egypt, as we hear, and the Egyptians noticed his wife was very beautiful. Do you remember what kind of happens there? And he says, hey, tell everybody here you're my sister. Remember that? Remember that man of faith and power? And then remember that all of a sudden all these things started breaking out, tumors and different things on the household of the Egyptians. And so then in a dream he's like, God, I didn't know. He told me he was his sister. And then he settles in Negev and again says, hey, this is my sister, and goes through the whole thing one more time. You know what's crazy about this is he says, hey, this is my sister. They take his wife from him. They put him in the palace, becomes part of the king's harem, until God showed up and said, hey, don't touch this woman or you're a dead man. And then when they would return his wife, they gave him all this like gold and silver and cattle. So not only did they return his wife, but then they blessed him with all this material possessions. I don't get that. Lack of faith there, but God's kindness and grace to Abraham, returns his wife, and they said, the second king gave him 1,000 pieces of silver, gave him all these other things as a gift. And then Abraham had to lay hands on him and pray for him. So it said, so that the wombs of the household of the king would open up again, because all of them, when they took Sarah in, everybody quit having babies. Man, God's grace and favor were upon Abraham, weren't they? This is interesting. He has Ishmael. We know about Ishmael for 13 years. Let me tell you, this is interesting. For 13 years, he thought Ishmael is the promised child. He said, for about a 13 years, 12 or 13 years, God's silent. He said, well, I guess this is Ishmael. I guess Ishmael is the one. I had that. Let me see where I had that. John, I may not have this. I'm going to have to go down if you don't have it. I'm going to go back up. Genesis 17. Well, I'm not going to go there real quick. I'm sorry, guys. So I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to stop as I was preparing this day and seeing the things that Abraham went through. And God encouraged me. The Lord began to show me the discipline of the Lord. And so I've heard a lot of different things about the discipline of the Lord, and a lot of them very scary. Was like, I don't want any part of that. Very, like, when you think about discipline, sometimes you can think about anger. There's many different things we can think about. People being in horrible car accidents, I know that happens. People being very ill or sick and diseased, and just all of a sudden everybody says, hey, you must be in sin. So God is disciplining you. But God showed me something today that blessed my socks off, because we were talking about Abraham. And it said that the gospel was preached to Abraham, right? So he was walking in faith. So how are you and I saved today? We're saved by grace through faith, amen? It says that he writes his laws within our hearts, that you and I are justified freely by his grace by putting our trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as I started thinking on that and started mulling that over in my mind, we'll get to, I said, well, Lord, if we're walking in that same covenant like Abraham, amen, because we'll read a scripture, I want to know how you disciplined Abraham. Because we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the curse of the law. So people will keep thinking that we're disciplined by God as if we are under the blessings and the curses. But I'm telling you and I are not under the curse of the law. Hey, I have lived under the curse of the law. I remember many years ago being in this building, reading Deuteronomy 28, reading the blessings and the curses, and I identified with the curses very much. And I said, why? Lord, why do I identify with those curses more than I do the blessings? It's because I didn't know anything about the new covenant, really. I didn't know anything about his grace and his mercy. I didn't know anything about him becoming a curse for me. Amen. And so all these things that I would identify with the curses, let me tell you this, if you are a born-again believer, you put your trust and faith in him, you are not walking in an old covenant with blessing and curses. The only way that you can walk in that curses is if you decide that you're not going to walk in grace and mercy and his strength. If you want to decide, the reason why I was walking under the law is because I didn't understand his mercy and his grace, and I was trying to please him by my own efforts, and the enemy was kicking my can. And so I said, man, Lord, why do I identify with the curses? And so let's talk a little bit about God's discipline. Amen. Let me talk a little bit about that. Let me say for the first thing that we understand about disciplining that's in the Word of God, Galatians chapter 6. Discipline by sowing and reaping. As an example, if you drink and drive and you get a DUI, don't blame it on God. Amen? But God will use those things to get your attention. Say, hello, don't do that. Don't do those things. So one of those ways that we're talking about God's discipline is sowing and reaping. So I blame God for all these things going wrong in my life, but then looking back now, many of those things were my own doing. Amen? Sowing and reaping. And what I love about is many of the things when I was younger that I sowed that weren't good, God, I didn't reap what I should have. God's merciful. Did you know we can pray for crop failure in some areas where we felt like maybe we've sowed wrong? For me, in relationships with different people when I was younger, aka kids, different things, where maybe I sowed a lot of things that weren't right. Can I just be truthful? And asking, Lord, thank you. I can sow right. I can sow in peace now. I can sow good things. I can sow the truth of God, the love of God. I can pray for crop failure. I can pray for restoration. The Word of God says that he will restore what the canker worm and the locusts have eaten. I'm just talking about all these promises. So sometimes we can get upset ourselves and we can see those things that it's just simply sowing and reaping, but we can always begin to sow, change that. Amen? We can always begin to speak the Word of God over family members. We can always change the way that we talk to them if they're willing to talk to us. We can, even those that may not be willing to talk to us, we can bless them and let the power of prayer do a work. Amen. Sowing and reaping. That's a big one. Amen. There's people that don't believe in sowing and reaping, but it's in the Word of God, sowing and reaping. That's why I give the finances. That's sowing and reaping. Amen. Going back to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talks about finances, talks about seed. That's sowing and reaping. Your marriage is only going to be as good as sowing. You know, words are sowing, things that we do into your mate, right? As an example. Another thing is sowing and reaping. The second thing, number one is discipline, is sowing and reaping. Number two is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2. He's talking to Timothy, and he says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. So the Word of God can rebuke you. You know that? It can rebuke you. In areas that you need to be rebuked with your loving Father, He can rebuke you if you're listening. Amen? Sometimes we may not be listening, and we'll get to that. Sometimes I used to think, well, man, I know God corrects us with His Word, but what if someone's not listening and it's not working? There's many people out there that will not hear the Word of God. Did you know that maybe some of the things that we're seeing going on in our nation, amen, is because God is correcting and disciplining this nation, saying, will you wake up? I am the answer. Amen. Nothing happens in this nation that God hasn't seen. I am sure that God is trying to shake, as it talks about, once more I will shake not only the heavens but the earth. And so as we see a shaking going on around the world, wow, things that we've never seen before. Everything seems to be shifting sand. What can you trust in? Only standing on Jesus, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So the Word of God. Here, let me talk a little bit from Deuteronomy, because this is interesting. Deuteronomy 8, 5, and 6. So the Word, discipline using the Word. Amen? The Word of God, we just read. So this is God talking to the Israelites. So you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And when if you read the front of that chapter, the beginning, we're not talking about his wrath when many of them were killed. You know what I'm talking about? When the ground had opened up and swallowed some of them. Snakes had bitten some of them. All the different things. No, when you read about that, that's not the disciplining that he's talking about. This is what he was talking about. You had to trust me for manna. The discipline was that you had to trust me to feed you. You wanted certain things away, and I said, no, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to discipline you. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me for water when they were in the desert, in the wilderness. When you read that, he's saying, I disciplined you because you had to trust me for water. You had to trust me for food. You had to trust me that your clothes wouldn't wear out. You see, where it turned into wrath, we're not under the old covenant anymore, right? Is they said, no, we won't trust you. But he's saying, this was my discipline. This was my heart. Man, trust me to take care of you. We want something right now. We'll talk about that in a second. Spoiled brats. You know what a spoiled brat is? Give it to me right now. They were like spoiled brats because they were murmuring, complaining. Anybody ever murmured or complained? And God's discipline said, no, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to get this thing called manna. You're going to have to trust me. Your first 6 days, you get enough for the day. For the seventh or the sixth day, you're going to get enough for 2 days. What happened? Some of them would gather more than they were supposed to, and then there would be worms. That was the discipline of the Lord. That was his kindness. hey, I told you to do this. I told you to trust me. But you, some of you decided to get a whole wheelbarrow full of this manna, and you got it this morning. It was full of worms. That was his discipline. Amen. The other stuff was the wrath of God. When you read that chapter, I mean, he says, I was disciplining you like a son. How, you know, what kind of father turns around and just would treat his son, you know, kill his son? That wasn't the discipline of the Lord. That was the wrath of God to get anybody that would be alive when he went into the promised land. So remember, he said, 20 years and younger shall go into the promised land. Those over 20, because of their rebellion against the Lord, you're not going to go in the promised land. Understand the discipline of the Lord was him saying, hey, you're going to trust me for this manna. I would invite you to read the first of that chapter. He talks about what that is. You know, Abraham, the discipline of the Lord, I want to read this and talk about how the Lord disciplines many, many of us. The Lord just blessed my socks off. Because I've learned through my life, being 57 now, I've never received many things that I deserve. Can I understand? God has been kind to me. But you can check back. Let me see if maybe you can, if you even know this. So let me ask you this question. How has the Lord disciplined you in your life? Do you even know? Sometimes because there's been such confusing teaching. Remember one guy, he was a great guy, missionary, old school, and he was talking about God taking a rod to you and just beating you to you till you're bloody. Well, that's not the heart of God. Amen. God's not looking to do those things. So Abraham, who had the first message preached to him, who's like Abraham, we've come into a covenant with God, new covenant by faith. Genesis 17, 16 and 18. Let me read this first. It says, I will bless her. Talking about Sarah. And give her a son. This is after like 13 years, by the way. This is after 13 years, after he's had Ishmael. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Did you hear that? This is Abraham. He fell on his face. Man, this guy is 99 years old. Next year he's going to have a son. He's 99 years old. His wife is 89. He's laughing. That is gone, Lord. There's no way her womb is dried up and closed. We had Ishmael, Lord. Ishmael is the promise. And for nearly 13 years, God did not say a word. As he's thinking, Ishmael is going to be the heir, the promised one that when God said, look at the stars. If you can count those, that's your descendants. And God believed him. But he had this, he's growing older, and he has this son named Ishmael. And by now he's 99 years old and his wife's 89. And there's like, it is impossible for them. I'm telling you, it's impossible for her to have a child. And all of a sudden God shows up on the scene again. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to him in his heart, will a child be born to him, a man 100 years old? He's saying, that's impossible. That can't happen. And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth to a child? He's saying, come on, Lord. It says he fell down and he laughed. And says, man, where have you been the last 13 years? Where have you been, Lord, the last 13 years? And this is in verse 18. This is just Abraham's heart. Verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Let it be Ishmael. Come on, Lord. Enough waiting. Enough of this stuff. I'm way too old. Just let Ishmael be the promised child. You can see that, right? But this is God. Look at God. Verse 19. But God said, no. But your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. You know, as today as I was I was talking to the Lord, have a little bit of a heaviness in some areas of my life. I said, I was saying to the Lord, when will some of these things pertaining to the church come about? When will some of the things needed in my life, my finances, my health, when will that come about? Lord, I am tired of waiting. The whole point of God's discipline, let me tell you, this was in Abraham and one's life, is that this discipline, here's what's the discipline in Abraham. God made him wait. As he waited and he made mistakes, he kept coming back to God. He kept coming back with his faith. God made him wait. And then God shows up on the scene and said, this time next year, bucko, you're going to have a child. And he laughed and said, no, let it just be Ishmael. I've kind of given up on that a little bit. But he said, no, it's going to be Isaac. And so what happened is, as God, as he was waiting on these things, and he was waiting, his faith was being tested. He had to grow. He had to trust him. He had to trust him. And then finally this promise comes about. But this waiting, the discipline of the Lord, we're thinking about something harsh. But here's where God, it says, the scripture says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Sound mind also means a disciplined one. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, things that we pray for, God, things that we're hoping for, we have to keep trusting for God. Did you know that? He waited and trusted in God to the point that he was so secure in the Lord by the time that it was impossible for him to do it on his own. It was impossible for him to have a child. What was the discipline of the Lord? You're going to trust me until it takes place. You're going to trust me. So when he finally had that child, the discipline of the Lord, trusting him, God says, take that boy and you go sacrifice him. He had grown so much in the Lord. He'd understand the discipline of the Lord, waiting on him. He says, God, at this point, you've done so much in my life. I've not quit believing. I've kept standing. I've made a lot of mistakes. I didn't understand, but I didn't pick up my tent and go back to where I came from. I didn't continue to throw a fit all the time. I continued to trust you against all trust. And he grew in such faith in him that when he says, hey, I want you to sacrifice this son of yours, he said, no problem. Because at this point now, what I've been through, the discipline of the Lord making me wait for things. I think of it as spoiled. I'm thinking of that movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The first one. You remember that really spoiled child, girl? I want a pony. I want chocolate. I want this. Here's the thing. You know, if God just answered our prayers, everything we did, just like this, I'm telling you, we'd become spoiled. We'd start pointing fingers at other people and say, hey, I received my healing. Why didn't you receive your healing? Oh, I received my blessing financially. Why didn't you receive your finances? Oh, God did this for me. Why did he not do it for you? I'm telling you, when things that are God that are waiting on, that we're waiting on, that we're trusting in his life, and see, trusting in things for this church, trusting in things in my life, when God showed me that, saying, the discipline of the Lord, the number one thing is are you going to believe? I've got the perfect timing. What he could have given Abraham that child right away. He made him wait 25 years, so it was impossible. But God didn't do that. He was mean. God was doing that for you and I, too. Did you know that? So that when he came to the point, he said, I want you to sacrifice that boy. He said, Lord, let's go. Because it said he knew that he could raise him up from the dead. The discipline of the Lord is saying, hey, you're going to wait upon me. Keep trusting me. Don't give up. Don't give in. We think of it all just a rod. I'm going to do this. Give me a few seconds. I want to read this. I want to, hopefully we can see it in a different little bit of light. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, because that's what talks about discipline. You don't have that, John, so I'm just going to read it because it's in the ESV. So hear this as we read. Give me a few more minutes. Did you know we're always going through discipline? When you're trusting God, when I read that and realized Abraham waiting on those things, my spirits lifted. Encourage me, Lord. See, we think of discipline as something being mean. No, what God is saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to put all your faith in me. I want your faith to grow. I want you to trust me when it doesn't look possible. I want you to trust me when you're everything in your mind, that those struggles we have from time to time and your emotions are coming against you, whatever area that you say, I'm going to trust you. And I'm telling you that when the Lord answers those prayers, you have grown in him. Amen. You've grown in him. Let me read this. Let me start reading in verse 5 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. And it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? So this is an exhortation. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Man, whatever you find yourself going through, if the things that you're going through, trust God, endure them. This discipline is not saying because of him being mean or even that you've done something wrong. He's saying, I want your faith to grow because it says the just shall live by faith. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith, right? It's called the hall of faith. It was faith. It didn't say, hey, their good behavior, their righteousness. No, it said they conquered kingdoms by their faith. They didn't give up. They didn't give in. The discipline of the Lord is, man, trust me. Trust me. I want it now. I want a pink pony right now. The Lord knows what we need. Man, we can trust him. See, he loves faith. You know, one thing I realized is God loves faith. Did you know that? He loves faith. It brings him great joy, and he moves on our behalf when we understand operating in trust and in faith. Amen. Verse 7, it says, it's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. Amen. Hallelujah. Is God a psycho? No. Is he a psycho that just wants to be harsh like a father who's abusive? No, not at all. What it's saying is whatever you're going through, trust him. He'll bring you through that. Your faith is precious. Did you know the most precious thing that you have in your life is your faith? Amen. It says that faith moves mountains. It's faith that gets us over every obstacle. Amen. It's faith. If you are left, it said, let's verse 8, then it says, if you are left without discipline, look, in which all have participated, listen, all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness or become mature. For the moment, all discipline, whatever you might be waiting, whatever's going on in your life that you're waiting for, different areas that you're hoping for, for the moment of discipline seems painful. Have you had any painful things in your life? Seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How do we be trained by it? Lord, I'm not giving up and I'm not giving in. I'm not going to allow these things that are coming against me or that I'm waiting on to discourage me to the point that I give up or give in. No, God is training us. He's disciplining us. He says, wait on me, pursue me, serve me, continue to do what you know. It says in Psalm 37, it says to sow in faithfulness, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Continue to be faithful. Continue to do what you know to do right. And as this God's discipline is working in your life, man, it will. The thing is he's working holiness in you, his righteousness. You ever notice that fruit of righteousness, instead of fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it? Are you allowing me to say the things that, if you ever, I was just thinking today, Lord, how am I being trained? Well, man, I got to wait here on these things that are bothering me. What does he say? Trust me. I'm training you, son. I'm training you to trust me. I'm training you, daughter, to trust me. We think God doesn't have a hands-off thing in our lives at all. There's nothing that comes in our lives that he's not aware of. Sometimes, Lord, don't you see this? And sometimes we do have to say, Lord, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So whatever you may be struggling with, going through, saying, Lord, you know, I know you're here. Your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me. And thank you for maturing me and letting the fruit of righteousness and holiness come forth in my life. Instead of, I want my pony. I want this. And why aren't you showing up and acting spoiled like the children of Israel? So what did he do? He says, I'm disciplining you. You're going to eat manna till it comes out of your noses. And you say you want meat? Well, here's enough meat here that you've got more meat than you'll ever need. That was the discipline of the Lord, trusting him. Amen? So what we do is we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your training in my life. Did you know he's doing that? So when I realize that, saying, Lord, thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your love. It just lifted my spirits. Say, Lord, you know the timing for the things that you're wanting to do. We have all things that we're praying for. We all have things that we're hoping for. We're all saying things, we all things we may have in our life saying, Lord, when? Abraham was saying, when? And then he has this son and says, oh, here I'm set. I'm good. And all of a sudden God puts a cog in the wheel and says, nope. And he said, nope, it's not going to be it. Your wife is going to have a child. And so after waiting all that time, allowing the discipline of the Lord to train him and grow him, man, could you imagine him willing to discipline his son, knowing within his heart that God would raise him up from the dead? I guarantee you, if 20 years earlier, if he'd had that son, he would not have felt the same. He says, Lord, the training and discipline that you put me through, man, you can do anything. Can you stand up with me? Do you love him? Did that make any sense? Get it? Or did you sleep through it? Can you say this with me? Can you say, Lord, thank you for your discipline? But, man, he loves us. And I used to think when someone say thanks for the discipline, I said, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? A car wreck? Dismember? I'm going to lose an arm, a leg? I would think of these horrible things, but say, no, Lord, your discipline is, man, I'm trusting you. You know when to answer these prayers. You know everything going on in my life. I don't care what I see. I'm going to trust you, and faith is going to grow in me. I'm going to be strengthened by your Holy Spirit, and you're going to show up on the scene. You're going to do things suddenly. It's just like, look at, I want to say this, look at what was, it would almost seem cruel that Joseph would be in prison for 13 years. Must be something about that number. But God was training him and disciplining him. In a moment's time, he's number two in all of Egypt. The Lord, that whole time, you think, he was trusting God, saying, I don't know how, Lord. How many times was he in prison saying, when, Lord, am I getting out of here? When? Lord, when are you going to answer this prayer? Lord, when are you going to help me in this area of my life? Keep trusting him, keep thanking him, and keep saying, Lord, thank you. My faith and trust in you is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And then when you answer those things and I see you show up, it says that the fruit of righteousness and holiness will have been developed in me. Amen. I'll be strong in my faith. Amen. Moving on and strengthen him. And other, he'll get the glory. People will see what the Lord has done. Amen. So we thank you for that tonight, Lord, as we worship you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Sorry for